A Breakfast Huddle with Elliot Danker, Yasmin Yonkers, and Ryan Huang. Replay from Money FM 89.3.
Right now, we know that Americans are busy at the polls in one of the most hyped midterm elections in U.S. history. Even former U.S. President Barack Obama tweeting that the vote might be the most important one of our lifetimes. Polls have closed in six states in the United States and in most of Florida. Pretty interesting. Some exit numbers have already come out, but right now they are pretty speculative, so we're not going to go right into them until we get definitive answers, okay? At stake, I'll tell you, 435 seats in the House of Representatives are there, 35 out of 100 seats in the Senate. These are the two bodies that make up the American Congress.
Governors are also being chosen in 36 out of 50 states. They're not picking a president,
no, they're not.
Okay. But the impact of the midterm elections, however, could be almost as significant. It's about who controls Congress, right? If Republicans maintain their hold on both the Senate and the House of Representatives, they can build on President Trump's agenda.
Mm-hmm.
But if the Democrats gain control of one or both chambers, they could prevent the Congress or perhaps even reverse Trump's plans. This, of course, was laid down earlier by our Straits Times Jurors Bureau Chief Nirmal Ghosh as well.
Yeah, this is all in line with the big picture of checks and balances in the American legal system, yeah? Well, polls have indicated that voters on both sides are a lot more fired up for the election. I mean, look at the voter turnout overnight. There were queues snaking all around schools and all the government buildings where people were going to the polls. And, of course, all the celebrities and all the big political bigwigs of the past really coming out to encourage people to vote. It looked like it's worked. Whatever the outcome, this year's midterm elections have already reached the milestone in terms of a record spending for any midterm polls to date. Currently the bill at $5.2 billion. That's incredible.
Yeah, and joining us in the studio to walk us through the 2018 midterm elections is Alvin Liu, senior economist at UOB. Good morning, Alvin. Thanks for taking the time to come by. And thanks for reminding me, it completely slipped my mind. We're on daylight savings, so everything is about an hour behind.
Yes, correct. It just ended last Sunday for US, so we are 1 hour longer away from US.
Yeah. You know, and that really means, can you give us an indication of what time results can be trickling in later today for our listeners here at Money FM who expect to hear results throughout the day?
Okay, as you have just mentioned, 8:30, we got some of the polling stations already going to be closing soon. Or some of them actually may close already. But on the other side, we note that US has four time zones. So the more important one on the furthest end of the time zone probably will be California.
That's where I think there's a huge state.
Yeah, there's many seats there.
Mm-hmm.
So that will close about 4 GMT, which works out to be around 12 noon Singapore time.
Okay.
So that would mean that we will still get the results during the Asian trading, but probably we are looking at the later afternoon trading session whereby the more convincing results will be out. But in between, before California is actually closed, right, we probably can get earlier results from the eastern coast.
Key eastern states before the west coast closes.
Some of the states such as, I think, Virginia, for example, there are some of the toss-ups. I think what people are focusing on in this is that there are some states that are very, what they call, toss-up states, whereby the leanings are not so clear. And those are quite cleanly watched. I think Virginia was just named as one. And other than that, of course, like what you mentioned, the governors, the race itself, is also watched quite closely because a lot of the current incumbents are actually Republicans. And if they do lose quite a few of those seats to Democrats itself, right, that could actually give a new twist to the 2020 presidential elections, whereby the governors are usually seen as the resources for the campaigns for the presidential elections.
Actually, could you help us out, Alvin, if for those of us who are paying attention to this, because this midterm elections has got more viewership, more interest than ever before. What are some of the key states that we should watch out for?
From the Singapore perspective, right, it's very hard to really, if I tell you that Virginia is important or somewhere in Missouri, Idaho.
Hard to comprehend, right?
Yeah, hard to comprehend. Those are a lot to do with the domestic issues.
Sure.
So let's look at from our perspective, let's look at the slightly bigger picture whereby who is currently in control, and after today itself, if that picture changes, what does it mean for Singapore?
Sure.
Of course, we know that currently the president is a Republican, sort of a Republican.
That's another story for another day.
Yes, we have most of the Republicans controlling the House and the Senate in the last 2 years of his term. Now, if the House were to flip over to Democrats because there's according to the polls, there's still a quite strong possibility that that will happen.
Yeah.
And what will happen to Trump's policies? Basically, right, that could actually mean a few things, or that could mean actually very little things.
Okay.
We know that a lot of Trump's policy has been pushed through on, for example, on the trade front, right?
It is
by his own executive powers, and it didn't really pass through the Senate or the House. What the House and Senate did push through in the last 2 years that was probably more indicative of what was his bias, right, was the tax cuts itself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if Democrats were to take back control of the House itself, right, one thing that's off the table would be more tax cuts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Of course, the reverse is that we know that if House goes back to the Republicans, the head of the Committee of Tax itself has already indicated that the first thing they will do is another tax cut for the middle income. If that happens, the tax cuts, that's a boost to the U.S. spending, household spending. That will be positive for the U.S. equity markets, and that will probably be good for, in a way, leading to the equity markets here as well, positive sentiment.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, there's so many, how would I put it? The House is insofar important, right, because it comes up with the appropriations bill, the spending bill itself.
Sure, sure.
So what happens if the House goes to Democrats and the Senate is with the Republican, right? That means that we will most likely get political gridlock
in
the next 2 years.
Okay.
It is not too bad because that was what happened in Obama years.
Yes.
Whereby there was no budget passed in the last few years. Mm-hmm. And what they did was just a CR continuing resolution. So those things will still go on. But what people will most likely be focused on in those 2 years after, if the Senate and the House is split, is that I think President Trump will concentrate more on trade, where he has the powers to do, and more on foreign policy.
So, pardon my ignorant question, with regard to trade, this means that even if the Democrats take over, these trade tensions will still go on?
Whatever policies that he had put in place will still probably go on. Well, what happens in our view is that if he loses the House in a very big way,
right,
it will give him a caution. What he's doing is not popular with the American public.
Mm-hmm.
And he may at least hold back on the more extreme measures and be more open to negotiation. That is our hope.
Again, we hope.
Yes, we hope.
We're speaking with Alvin Liu, senior economist at UOB. I know you guys had a report that you published last Friday. In fact, on Monday, too, when we were busy milling over over the public holiday going into this chat with you, Alvin. The voter turnout has been quite remarkable. People were predicting that it would be over 50% from the last midterm elections back in 2014. It looks like it might even supersede that, yeah? What party is likely to benefit from this very high voter turnout that's been experienced overnight?
This is a good question, but also with no good answer from me.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, first, of course, when we look at the Obama years, right, especially the last one, voter turnout was especially low because there was no real issues involved for the American public. And they knew that it was going to be this gridlock whereby the president wouldn't be able to do much in the last few years. But if fast forward to today, right, things are fairly different, right?
Mm.
And while midterm elections is usually about domestic politics, U.S. domestic politics, this has been directed towards more likely as a vindication of Donald Trump's policy, whether it is effective, whether he is getting the approval. And this is what people are trying to drive at right now with the high voter turnout. But of course, when you look at the high voter turnout, right, what happened in 2014 was what was very low was the youths. They didn't turn up at all.
They didn't care.
Because I guess they didn't feel very connected.
Yeah. But right now, they are feeling that connection and they are going to vote. But the truth of the matter is most of the people think that if you get a lot of youths to vote, more females to vote, more of the other Afro-Americans to vote, you might get a lot more
Democrats.
Votes for Democrats.
That's itself. Right.
Yeah.
But that is not a certainty.
Right. This is the group that Nirmal Ghosh called the not the red, white and blue, but the other colors.
Alvin, for weeks or even months, there's been talk that the Democrats are going to take the House and Senate. A lot of opinions have been coming out. All these just opinions. But yeah, at the same time, in the US this year, the unemployment rate, the stock market performance, consumer confidence, they're all doing quite well. So then, isn't that enough to keep Republicans in the House and Senate?
Yeah, why change the status quo, right?
Well, I think right now in the current state of where the US politics is, right, is a very divided.
I think polarized nation, isn't it? Yes.
Yeah, that would probably be an understatement in some ways. Mm-hmm. They don't seem... Well, in the past, if you remember, like maybe during Clinton years, even Bush years, right, they actually managed to pass some major legislation through both major parties.
Mm-hmm. In there the US itself,
yeah, there was more agreement.
Yeah.
But the disagreement or the polarization didn't happen just because of President Trump.
Okay.
But he did seem to make the divide more apparent and more
right.
unreconcilable.
Okay.
And for the numbers itself, right, I think we have seen that if you look at where the financial crisis was in 2008 and 2009, right, thereafter, US has been on a growth trajectory. And despite so many years of growth, right, we haven't seen them really slowing down. And the last few years really picked up steam. One of the reasons perhaps more pertinent was because of the tax cuts that they had implemented. Mm. But we also, on the other hand, we did see that some of the numbers on the consumer side could be peaking already and that the effects of that tax cut is actually coming off. So a lot of people are looking at a more hesitant view if you're right. looking at the outlook. Right. US, probably there may be a chance that they will be going into a recession, but not right now, but probably down the road. Some people are looking at, and for us, somewhere in 2020.
Okay.
So
okay.
down the road, the growth may have been peaking and slowing down.
Interesting. Just before his next campaign run, if he runs again. Of course, we're speaking to Alvin Liu, senior economist at UOB.
And as we stand right now, polls of six states have already closed in the United States and more results expected to trickle as the day goes by here on Money FM 89.3. In fact, the results going to be trickling right into the afternoon today. Mm. So the conversation today is really about, I don't know, what could impact the markets, depending on which way the results swing, right? So Alvin, I just want to quote this study from Real Clear Politics. As of yesterday, Democrats seem to be favored to win the House. Republicans seem to be favored to maintain the Senate. Can you explain why there seems to be this particular split?
Okay. For the House itself, because all the seats are up for grabs, and that makes the contest more even. But Democrats will have a lead, in our view, because one thing is a lot of the toss-ups are happening in states that are not too sure where they are going.
Sure.
But it seems that Democrats may have a slim lead. But again, we have to warn that this Real Clear Politics is already one of the best to actually follow all this. But even then, if we look at previous polling in some of the elections, right, it need not necessarily reflect the end result.
Yeah.
While the Senate itself is more difficult for Democrats because only 35 seats are up for grabs,
mm-hmm.
and most of these seats that are up for grabs, the incumbents are actually more than, I think, 28 or 29 of them are actually Democrat seats.
Okay.
So they need to defend more than they have to gain because only, I think, about 8 Senate seats are Republican seats, and
okay.
3 of them are actually retiring. So that's why that unfavorable Senate map itself for them, right, makes it very difficult for Democrats to actually regain the Senate, and Republicans seem more likely to maintain their slight margin there. While the House itself, because it is a whole electoral that is going for election, and because of the likely toss-up in some of the region itself, it seems that Democrats have a edge there. But nothing is, again, for certain. Because what the polls does suggest as well, right, even though a few months ago there seems to be a gap, the gap has been narrowing going into the election day yesterday.
I'd like to get your opinion on that, or rather to get your insight on the implications of a divided Congress, because UOB research note on the U.S. midterm has got a base case scenario of 60% probability that it'll most likely be a divided Congress. Mm-hmm. What are the implications and what's your reasoning for this?
Okay, first of all, the divided Congress itself, right, like we mentioned just now, right, it's likely that they can't get a lot of the things that they want to pass through. For example, like
whatever bills.
Tax bills, right?
Yep.
So those is really out the window already. And it also be a signal to the Trump administration that whatever they are doing, right, is not popular with the people.
Okay.
And therefore, they might actually tone down some of the trade policies that they have been implementing so far. And that they will be signaling probably a more reconciliatory note on that, those on policy issues. And but at the end of the day, if the Senate is still controlled by the Republicans, right, then the major policies, major appointments into the key places in the government and into judiciary of U.S., right, will still be able to push through by President Trump. So that will still go on. Overall, our view is that whatever that we are seeing for that, probably there's little impact on the equity markets because this is the expected outcome.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the U.S. dollar itself, the strength, right, will still be increasing, but probably at a slower pace.
Mm-hmm.
And the Treasury yields increase itself because at least they will slow down on the tax cuts itself.
Mm-hmm.
The deficit may be put into somewhat of a control mode.
Right, right.
And the yields may not be increasing at that faster pace.
Thank you so much for your insight, Alvin Liu, senior economist at UOB. Nice of you to spend 30 minutes with us to break all this down.
I'm sure
your eyes are just on the TV screen that's there with all the results coming through. Exactly. Okay, so Alvin, we appreciate your time here on Money FM, and we look forward to your summary note tomorrow, I guess.
It'll probably be out about, hopefully, around 4 to 5 o'clock later today.
Okay, yeah. We'll break it down tomorrow here on The Breakfast Huddle.